Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. Katie Hurley died last month, just shy of her 100th birthday. But even at the age of 99, she accomplished for what for some would take several lifetimes. Her family today is holding a virtual memorial for her. And if you'd like to get an invitation to get that link, you can email the family at akhurleygirls@gmail.com. That's akhurleygirls@gmail.com. And Hurley is H-U-R-L-E-Y. Well, Katie Hurley was raised in Juneau. And long before she became one of the founding mothers of statehood, the chief clerk of Alaska's Constitutional Convention, she was Mary Lou Sparks' choir director. Mary Lou, who lives in Juneau, turned 90 this month, but she remembers marveling at how her choir director could manage all the stops and floor pedals on the church organ and still play the keyboard with such flair.
She was very good at it, and she was a lot of fun. She was very pretty, and she was just a very pleasant lady. She wasn't too fussy about it. I looked forward to it.
Mary Lou says she remembers that Juneau was so proud of young Catherine when she went to work for the territorial governor, Ernest Greening, who was quite taken with her bright, energetic personality and her keen intelligence. Katie invited the choir to her wedding reception, which was held at the governor's mansion.
I suppose my best memory is of her being danced around the ballroom, the governor's mansion, when I was a kid. The wedding, the reception, the governor's mansion, it was all very magical.
Mary Lou says that it was one of the most romantic moments she's ever witnessed, watching Katie's husband whirl her round and round across the hardwood ballroom with the swirl of her white wedding gown trailing. She also admired Katie for her smarts and said that Katie earned a master's degree at the University of Ernest Greening.
Here was a very brilliant man. This was a man who was a MD from Harvard, which he never used, and went on to become a journalist and then a writer. He was always writing. He wrote the polemic for the Constitution. You just can't be around somebody like that without getting it rubbed off somehow.
And the love of politics definitely rubbed off. Katie went on to run for the state legislature, lieutenant governor. She also headed the first women's commission in Alaska. The consummate public servant. And all the while found time to be a mom. Mary Lou says that you wouldn't know all of that from her manner.
She was always the same person. She never changed in my opinion, from the time that she was our choirmaster. She accomplished this, she accomplished that. She went on to become very involved and very much a stalwart in the Democratic Party. But these were things that she just did. She didn't need to talk about them. If you wanted to talk about them, she would, but that wasn't what she brought up first. She would say, how are you? How is your kid? How are your kids? How is your family? She was always interested in others.
And that interest in others is what appealed to Vic Fisher, a longtime friend of Katie Hurley's. He was a delegate to the Constitutional Convention that Hurley oversaw, but they were friends before that. In fact, Fisher remembers the exact day that they met. He was 26 and made a stop in at Governor Greening's office.
I got up to the third floor, and there was this cute young woman about my age, and she was sitting outside the governor's office, and I said, could I see the governor? And she said, have you ever met a governor? And I said, no. And she said, well, why do you want to see him? And I said, well, 15 years ago, my father, who is a foreign correspondent, was a writer, a contributor to the Nation magazine, which was being edited by Ernest Greening. And so she said, well, I'll see if he'll see you. And with that, she went through the wooden doors and sort of shut me out. Then I heard some laughter from within. And after a while, she came out and sort of almost in surprise said, he'll see you. So then I went in and introduced myself more directly. And of course, he knew my father very well for a number of years. So we had a connection right there. I was with the governor for quite a while and then had a few sweet words with that little cutie out front and went back to Anchorage and didn't see Katie for a few years until I was doing some work in Juneau during legislative sessions. And those were territorial days when the legislature met for 60 days every 2 years. Anyway, it turned out that Katie, this young cutie who had been sitting outside the governor's office as his secretary, was now secretary of the territorial senate of the Alaska legislature. So we met again and sort of became lightweight buddies, sort of hung around with other young people. And she was always just very lighthearted. But when I watched the territorial senate in operation and Katie sitting up front, in front of the senate president, dealing with the work of the senate, it was a totally different young woman. She was all business, and they paid a lot of respect to her. So I got to see her quite a bit, and there was a group of young people who hung out together, and we saw each other, and this happened for several legislative sessions, and we became good friends when she was off the Senate floor, when she was not doing heavy work. She was this light-hearted, wonderful, delightful person. And one of the things that she did for me, which my current wife, Jane Angvik, very much appreciates, is that Katie taught me how to dance. Katie was quite a dancer.
Vic, how old do you think you were when you met Katie Hurley?
When I first met her, I was about 26, 27 years old, and it turned out that she was 2 years older than I. She was just full of life and vim and vigor and pretty much a leader of the fun group of younger professionals.
It is remarkable when you find a person that can manage both, to be a business-only sort of person, yet after hours be able to have fun with people.
It was just a lot of fun. And it was sort of a light spirit. There was nothing heavy going on. There were a lot of bright young people, and it was a great time, where lots of young people with big hope in their eyes about the future of Alaska, what they could contribute to the future state of Alaska. Statehood was a big, big issue at the time. Katie was secretary of the territorial senate. The legislature approved the call for a constitutional convention. That was in 1955 territorial legislature. So when the 55 delegates met and started organizing, one of the decisions was to hire Katie, who's been a manager of the legislative process in the Senate, to hire her as a chief clerk, who really ran the operation of recording all the proceedings of the Constitutional Convention, doing committee reports, doing daily summaries. I think we had about 25, 30 staffers who were under Katie, and she was doing heavy management work during the Constitutional Convention.
It's been said that Katie Hurley got her master's degree in the School of Ernest Greening.
I think Ernest Greening gave her the self-confidence to do those things, to deal with higher-uppers, with intellectuals, with business people, with big politicians. Ernest Greening was on the national stage, international stage, so she did have a damn good base for dealing with politicians, with elected officials, with staff. It seemed to come to her just like dancing. She could switch from one to the other and have a great time doing it.
I forgot to ask you, so what was it like to dance with Katie Hurley on the dance floor?
When I first danced with Katie, I was very self-conscious about stepping on her sweet toes. She sort of carried me along, and after a while, I was able to hang on for dear life and even started enjoying it. So life moves along.
You know, she was also a choir director growing up, so maybe all these facets of her personality, being able to be a choir director, get people to sing from the same page of music, to be a great dancer, to swirl people around or be swirled around, make everybody who danced with her look good. Maybe that was all part of the Katie Hurley magic at the Constitutional Convention. What do you think?
Well, the Constitutional Convention was a heavy-duty operation. There was relatively little playing around on the sides because the convention met on the University of Alaska campus, and there was a bus that transported people from downtown Fairbanks hotels to the meeting places on the university campus. And then depending on how many meetings there were, the return bus trips might be at 6 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night. And sometimes we went till midnight.
Every moment in history has certain personalities that contribute certain things to making history. What is it about Katie being involved in that process that made a difference?
What made a difference was those who knew Katie personally could observe her. She sat right in front of Bill Egan, who was president of the Constitutional Convention, and she was part of every sentence that came out on the floor of the convention. She recorded everything. For somebody who knew Katie, it was sort of fun. She had a way, even on the more rigid territorial Senate, where she sat facing most of the senators. She had sort of a favorite few senators, and occasionally she'd wink at them while nobody else was looking or something like that. And the same thing in the Constitutional Convention.
It sounds like her very presence there gave people a comfort level, even though she was all business through that and took copious notes and did so much to make that process go smoothly. It sounds like this trust in her.
Yes, it definitely was trust. The important thing is she and her staff delivered every morning when the convention met. We had stacks of reports. We had transcripts of the previous day's activities. We had schedules of committees and reports of committees. There were stacks of paper. It wasn't just a fun kind of an affair. There were products all the time, grinding out an audio record of the transactions, all of these things were moving across in front of everybody. So it was a big operation. Katie was very visible as being effective.
So Vic, it sounds like you're the last one of that group.
She was one of the last ones. It was a delight to occasionally see her in the late ages, and I seemed to survive for everybody, which is painful at times, but it's great. Katie was one of the good friends of many, many decades.
Well, both of you had a fire. You had your dreams for the state. What were your last conversations about?
Last conversations were pretty much about when we were young, life was fun. It's heavier now, but it's still great to have friends who are still alive. And we had been friends for 70 years. That's a pretty long time.
That is a long time to be friends. Some of us aren't even alive that long. 70 years of friendship. So, Vic, now that you're the last one of that convention, a lot of people are looking to you for your thoughts because you're going to be the last person that we can talk to about that very special time in our history. What are you thinking of these days as you watch the politics, the current political scene?
Well, I worry about the future of Alaska. Sometimes I get very pessimistic. There are other times when I meet young people who are still coming to Alaska as we did in my time. We had a hope. We saw this gorgeous land and mountains and waters and opportunity for ocean kayaking and mountain climbing and doing everything, and an opportunity to make the world better for everybody. And there are still young people like that coming to Alaska. They're not as visible as we were because there were fewer in Alaska at the time. But I still see young people who have stars in their eyes, and that gives me hope for the future of Alaska.
A lot of people have been worried about you and your health. I understand you had a little bit of a scare not too long ago.
Like a lot of old people, they've survived crises. And I had a minor crisis. I overcame it. I can talk. I can walk. And I have no idea whether I'm going to keel over tomorrow or 3 years from now. But in the meantime, I'm going to do what I can to encourage young people to control the future and make sure it goes in the right direction.
So what piece of advice would you leave us all with? What would you have us keep in mind sort of as our compass?
I would say be optimistic. Overcome obstacles. There always will be obstacles, there'll be problems, and sort of keep in mind the star in the sky or whatever leads you into the future, and follow your values, build your values. I define for myself what values I want to pursue, not to accumulate wealth or lands or anything like that. It's to help people, to help those who need help, whom I can help. And I have tried in my whole long life to be as generous as I could to everybody, to the public, and serve them as best I could.
You know, I think you have. I think you have. And that is the beauty of knowing you. It's been a long time, right? Because you're going to be how old? 97?
I'll be 97 in May.
So do you think you'll make it to 100? You hope so?
Well, step by step and do what you can.
Vic Fisher says that what he had in common with Katie Hurley was a real love for Alaska, one that they hope will live across the generations and what they hope they will most be remembered for. Katie's family is having a virtual memorial for her today at 6 o'clock. And if you would like to receive a link to that, all you have to do is send an email to akhurleygirls@gmail.com. And that's Hurley, H-U-R-L-E-Y, H-E-R-L-E-Y. So it's akhurleygirls@gmail.com. And from all of us at KTOO, a fond farewell to you, Katie Hurley, one of the grand dames of Alaska politics.